And now, Skip Andrews.
I want to thank you for listening today and hope that you'll study with me for the next few minutes as we learn about the concept of weakness from Psalm 119. I'm going to be reading verses 81 through 88 of that psalm in just a moment. That's Psalm 119, 81 through 88, and our word for today is weakness. Now let's go to our scriptures and read from Psalm 119, 81 through 88, and notice the subject of weakness. He says, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, 'When will you comfort me?' For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth." At least three times in this reading, we have a word that has to do with fainting or failing and weakness. And we'll be looking at those three times in verses 81, 82, and 87 as we study. And that's why I chose the concept of weakness as a major theme for the look into these eight verses today. The thing that relieves him in his weakness is the idea of salvation, which is a constant theme all through this psalm. Salvation that God provides not only from sin, which is clearly the biggest thing, but from difficulties of life that he faces, temptation, enemies, struggles, the difficulties with people, all of those things are spoken of as a form of being relieved by God in his salvation. But as usual, our writer intends to turn to the Word of God and the God of the Word for his hope, for his life. In verses 81 through 88, he exposes his desire to be strengthened by God in his weakness. He begins with the first use of this word when he says, "My soul faints for your salvation." That's the word for weakness in the original. Salvation is the need that we have on the inside, the inner person, the soul, the spirit, the mind and heart of man needs relief sometimes and ultimate relief from sin. And so he wants that. He desires that. And so he hopes, he says, in the word, in thy word, in your word. That is where my hope is. And that's why I stressed hope and life a moment ago in verses 81 and 88. My eyes fail for your word, saying, and there's that word again, same thing. I'm weak. I need help. I need comfort. I need an answer to my question, when will you comfort me? And that's what God does. He provides that comfort. He does it in his own way, in his own time. In Proverbs 13:12, the last half of the verse says, "When the desire comes, it is a tree of life." That is, when I get what I've been wanting, it is a tree of life. And that is what God desires to give us, is that desire. That is the need met. Met because we have come to God and asked him to help us. But he's not through describing his condition. He says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." The bottle in the Old Testament days was a skin, a wine skin, that was used to put grape juice in, and sometimes they would put milk in it or water. But smoke would shrivel that bottle up and wrinkle it, just like life shrivels our skin and makes it older and less able to function. In Proverbs 17:22, he says, "A broken spirit dries the bones." This man is clearly talking about his spirit, that it is shriveled up, it is bothered by the issues of life, and yet he says again, "I do not forget your statutes." Just as Job, he did not forget the truths of God. He did not take his troubles too lightly or light troubles too strongly, but he did turn to God. Now, when we have troubles, and we are going to turn somewhere. Saul turned to sin, and the last half of the book of 1 Samuel is a tragic story of what Saul did. Rebellion, Israel turned to, and the book of Malachi exposes their turning to rebellion, again, as they had done so many times, when God clearly said what he wanted. Jonah turned to murmuring against God and about his condition in Jonah 4. We're going to turn somewhere when we see our weaknesses and our needs. This writer encourages us to turn to God, to call out to him, "How many are the days of thy servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me?" He knows that God will do that because God's word teaches a clear law of sowing and reaping. They that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life, but they who sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. That law is taught in many ways all through the Scriptures. Those who persecute me, he knows, will receive what they ought to receive. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after your law. They have actually tried to cause me harm, he says, and their efforts are not according to the standard of your word, your law, your precepts, your principles. Now he returns to this principle that we're trying to emphasize throughout this psalm. All your commandments are faithful. Whatever God has said, whatever God has revealed about the principles of life, every one of those things is faithful. It is according to the righteous nature of God. That's the standard. It's right. And I can use his standard to know whether or not I'm right in a given situation so that I can turn to God, receive help and strength, and do exactly what this psalmist said. They've persecuted me wrongfully. I need help. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Apostle Paul is the man who wrote that in 2 Timothy 3:12, and he knew a lot about what it was like to suffer persecution. As a matter of fact, he was at that moment writing his last letter and was about to suffer his last persecution, which would have been being killed because he was a Christian. The writer of the psalm moves on, and he says, "They had almost consumed me upon the earth." And there's that word that has to do with fainting or weakness that's used for the third time in 8 verses. But almost is but to fail, the songwriter said. They didn't consume me. They brought me low. They hurt me badly. But I forsook not the precepts. I did not turn away from those things that are right. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the writer says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." Here someone's being warned about the very fact that they had done wrong against God's people, and the response to that is that God is always watching over his people. And if they do not forsake his precepts, even if they come near to being consumed, they won't be. He will lift them up. He will redeem them. He will provide them with the blessings that he promised those who are faithful. And so the psalmist ends this section by saying, "Quicken me, make me alive, revive me after your loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of my mouth." He's made a commitment. I'm going to keep on because I will rely upon your loving kindness. Let me respond to God in loving obedience as a result of facing the difficulties and issues of life so that he can bring me up out of those difficulties, use me for his honor and glory, and even lead others to him through me. In Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, the Scripture says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." That's Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I encourage you to understand the importance of responding to God in obedience in all circumstances, even the circumstance when you see yourself lost in sin. Obey Him. Come to Him on His terms, which include the wonderful plan of salvation in the New Testament, which includes listening to what He says, Romans 10:17, believing in Jesus as God's Son, John 8:24, repenting of all sin and unrighteousness, Acts 17:30, confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, Acts 8:37, being immersed to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3-4, and He will then add you to the church that He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20:28. Thank you for listening today.